He said that religion and Shia school of thought is capable of mobilizing masses from all walks of life and organizing them against the tyrannical ruling system. Imam Khomeini's revolution was so great and glorious that the French thinker and others like him were urged to write on its unique aspects, although they failed to fully understand the nature of the revolution and its peerless leader. Foucault wrote that the demonstrations in Iran had a sort of relation with congregational actions, religious rituals, and expression of public rights. He stressed that religion caused the Iranian nation to decide altogether to topple the tyrannical Shah and his corrupt government. The French writer believes that, although there used to be a traditional form of Islam, this method of revolutionary Islam has given a new identity to the Iranian people and made them think of changing the entire life in every individual and social aspect. Dear listeners, next time we will continue the discussion.
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, ways of success through religion. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, may his peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and his pure, immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z, IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. I'm Farhad, your host, and I'm very honored to have you as my listener. We are going to start our program today with a question, and that is, please teach me the way to success and tell me how I can attain happiness. I'm a young man, I would like to see myself in the best position in this life and in the afterlife. What is the way to that? Everyone has an opinion, but I, because of my young age, do not know which opinion is the best. Very clever question. To answer this question, I would like to say that the way to a successful life begins with you. The beginning is itself, which, if you change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you reach success and happiness. But if you leave it to do as it pleases, you will never reach whatever it is you dream of. Therefore, I would like to guide you to some principles that we can gain them through our religion, through the Quran and our hadiths. Firstly, you need to discover yourself. In this life, you can be great and your mention will be recorded in the list of the great if you can only discover your own talents and abilities. It's a very important point. And secondly, when you assign a name to yourself, know that you not only need accurate thinking, but you also need a strong spirit and high determination to help you reach the advanced steps in the way of success. The source of this strong spirit and high determination is the true belief that connects you with Allah the Almighty, intellectually and practically. To get the sauce, you have to recite the Quran deeply and ponderingly and have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart of the night and offer night powers, because saying night powers and worshipping God in the heart of night will bring us ease and peace, and this is the golden key for every kind of success. Welcome back there, brothers and sisters. You're listening to A to Z, IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. I'm Farad, your host, and I'm very honored to have you with me. Like in the previous part, we were talking about the ways of being successful in life. And the first quality that we have to carry it is to discover ourselves and also discover our own talents and abilities and organize our time based on what we have from talents and abilities. And secondly, we need a strong spirit and a very high determination if we want to be successful in our life. And this high determination, this strong spirit, comes from a true belief in Allah and following the rules of Allah that Allah has said to His Prophet and also Ahlul Bayt, and they have declared those rules to us. And by following them, we can gain the strong spirit and a very high determination to move through our goals and achieve them, inshallah. But thirdly, to be a successful person, we need to keep our success safe from pleasures, and we have to be aware of the pleasures. As an example, if you want to mention some of them, I can say bad friends, imagining oneself to be ill, putting off the work of today until tomorrow, and also convincing ourselves to retreat from doing good deeds and not acquiring new information that concerns us, are the main obstacles that we face and it will stop us from achieving our goals. It's very important, especially the last one, because we mainly put our time for gathering many things, but we rarely put our time to acquire new information that concerns us. And the most important information are required from Quran and Hadiths. So it's obligation, it's a kind of obligation for everyone to put at least one day a week to study about religion, to study about the ways that our religion offers us to achieve a very successful life. So it's very, so by studying them, by going through Quran and our Ahadith, we can learn the way of living. And if we live the life in a correct way, we will definitely reach what we want from successfulness. Thank you for being with us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Sudan and one entire month of intense fighting there between the country's army and a paramilitary group known as Rapid Support Forces, or RSF. As the conflict entered its fourth week on Saturday, airstrikes battered the capital, Khartoum. Warplanes were seen bombing targets, with witnesses saying the fighter jets pounded various parts of the city. That caused telecommunication services to be cut off for hours. Forces loyal to both groups, the army led by Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and RSF leader Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, also known as Hemeti, are fighting intense street battles as well. This is Burhan and Dagalo are engaged in a power struggle over the RSF's integration into the regular army. While the deadly battle rages on in Sudan, the two forces have sent their delegations to Saudi Arabia for talks with the aim of bringing the devastating conflict to an end. The army confirmed that it had sent envoys to Saudi Arabia to discuss what it called details of a truce with its paramilitary foes. The RSF also confirmed that its delegation is present in Saudi Arabia for talks. Meanwhile, the United States and Saudi Arabia have issued a joint statement confirming direct talks between the warring sides in the Saudi city of Jeddah. The statement welcomed the start of the talks and called for a sustainable global effort to quell fighting. The negotiations in Jeddah are the first such serious attempts to end the battle. Numerous ceasefires have so far failed to bring what is regarded as a civil war in Sudan to a halt. The fighting has brought much of the country's vital infrastructure to the brink of collapse, with people across the northeastern African nation struggling to provide their basic needs. Heavy gunfire and deadly airstrikes have already prompted so many countries to withdraw their citizens and nationals from Sudan. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, France, Turkey, and the Netherlands are among those which have already evacuated their citizens from Sudan. Some others have suspended their operations amid heavy fighting there. The deadly conflict in Sudan comes as global organizations have warned of an imminent human catastrophe there. According to a non-governmental organization specializing in disaggregated conflict data collection, the war in Sudan has so far killed around 700 people, mostly in Khartoum and the western Darfur region. Some other organizations have sounded the alarm over the number of children being impacted by the war. On Friday, the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, expressed concern that the situation in Sudan has become fatal for a frighteningly large number of children. UNICEF has said nearly 200 children were killed and about 1,700 wounded only during the first 11 days of the conflict. UNICEF says the actual number could be much higher. The sad part of the story, though, is that some countries have warned that they expect the conflict to continue for a long time. The International Organization for Migration says so far nearly 450,000 civilians have already fled their homes since the fighting began. That includes more than 115,000 who have sought refuge in neighboring countries like Chad. In the meantime, the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, says it is preparing for an outflow of 860,000 people. Those figures clearly show the magnitude of the tragedy there, with many saying the conflict has exacerbated the already dire humanitarian situation, hunger and malnutrition included. The United Nations has warned that if the fighting rages on between the two forces, it could raise the number of Sudanese threatened by hunger by as many as 2.5 million. Given all the disappointing figures, the ceasefire negotiations in Saudi Arabia have raised hopes not only for millions of Sudanese throughout the country, but for many in the region and around the globe that the conflict could end soon. This not only will save the lives of people who are grappling with years of unrest and uprisings throughout the past decades or so, but would also bring relief to the people of the world who do not want to see another genocidal conflict. But if the warring sides fail to come up with a sustainable solution during the talks, it will be hard to imagine what will be waiting for the people of Sudan.
The sounding bell of the U.S. stock market, symbolic of a stock market that should be performing well. But these cheers are not reflective of what is going on in the U.S. economy. Instead, warning signs should be going off due to the U.S. banking sector. Trading was halted in shares of two more U.S. lenders. Regulators had to step in after PacWest and Western Alliance shares plunged. Although there was optimism in Wall Street after stocks, like in the banking sector, jumped Friday, following a good jobs report and strong Apple earnings, there were still fears and worries about the sector after the failure of four mid-sized banks since early March. Bank customers and investors feared a repeat of other bank failures in the U.S., like First Republic, SVB, and Signature. And those fears are justified. As many as 16 mid-sized banks have shed more than $57 billion in market value since last Friday. American regulators seized then-sold First Republic Bank to J.P. Morgan Chase on Monday, marking the second largest ever U.S. bank collapse and the third major bank shutdown nationwide in the past 2 months, following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, or SVB, and Signature Bank.
Today, the Federal Reserve issued its long-awaited report on the cause of the Silicon Valley Bank failure. And while it put the failure squarely in the hands of management and its board for failing to oversee a safe and sound business plan, the Fed did put some heat on itself that its own bank regulators did not respond quickly enough and forcefully enough to conditions on the ground. And these conditions also are conditions that First Republic faced.
The question that is being raised once again is, are we witnessing a repeat of the U.S. financial crisis? Since 2001, more than 500 banks across the U.S. have closed. Most happened after the 2008 financial crisis. Of all the banks that closed since 2001, the largest was Washington Mutual, which closed in September 2008, during the early stages of the financial crisis. The closure of First Republic is the second largest bank closure in the U.S. and the largest since the end of the financial crisis. But this is what stands out for those that believe that there is another financial crisis in the making. About 70 banks across the U.S. have closed over the past decade. The total assets of the three banks closed this year has exceeded the total assets of the 25 banks that closed in 2008, meaning that the scale of U.S. bank closures in 2023 is the largest in years.
In this case, you had a group of banks here that did not plan well for interest rate risk. They did not plan well for big growth, explosive growth. They didn't plan for what they should be planning for, and that's a liquidity event where you have more than ordinary numbers of withdrawals, especially given their levels of uninsured deposits. That's a problem. And so, you know, the chickens have kind of come home to roost for all of these banks.
As seen here, the three banks, namely First Republic, Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature Bank, held a total of $532 billion in assets. That is more than the $526 billion, when adjusted for inflation, held by the 25 banks that collapsed in 2008 at the height of the global financial crisis. There are major factors that are affecting the health of U.S. banks. One of them are the recent Fed hikes. In March of this year, a study jointly released by economists from multiple universities in the U.S. showed that the Fed's rate hike greatly increased the vulnerability of the U.S. banking system.
Fed, just as they were stubborn and obstinate on the idea that inflation was transitory, they're being stubborn and obstinate on the idea that they need to hit 2% inflation before they let up on the tightening. And that's simply just history doesn't bear it out. And unless and until they come to that realization by studying history, you're going to see more and more of these situations.
Affected by the Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hikes, the value of financial assets like bonds held by many U.S. banks has shrunk sharply, and the asset value of some banks has even decreased by more than 20%. According to the study, if market confidence continues to weaken and more depositors withdraw their deposits, as many as 186 banks may become insolvent and face the risk of closure. That should be a major concern for the Fed and the man on top, the U.S. President Joe Biden. Another item of concern for the U.S. administration is the U.S. debt ceiling. As it stands, the Biden administration remains at odds with Republicans who have refused to increase the debt ceiling.
Our MAGA Republicans in Congress are threatening to undo all this progress by letting us, quote, default on the debt unless we agree to their demands. The two are totally unrelated. Whether you pay the debt or not doesn't have a damn thing to do with what your budget is, where you're going to spend money, how you're going to raise the money, what are you going to cut, they're two separate issues.
If the debt ceiling, which has reached its peak of $31.4 trillion, is not raised, that could potentially lead to a government shutdown on June 1st. The U.S. government reaction so far, in terms of an intervention, has been subdued. The Sentry says even though U.S. banks are failing, it is reported that U.S. authorities are unlikely to intervene. The reason given? Regional lenders, such as PacWest and Western Alliance, are not seen as systemically important, and more consolidation is predicted to be ahead. The outlook, however, looks bleak. Unless the Fed rides to the rescue with cuts in interest rates, the options are amalgamation, regulation, or more banks going bust. The response of the U.S. authorities suggests little appetite for a laissez-faire approach. While the U.S. is struggling with these economic issues, it is also facing the prospects of de-dollarization, which is uncontrollable since many countries are queuing up to wean their economy off the dollar. Russia has accused Ukraine of attacking the Kremlin with drones in a failed assassination attempt to kill President Vladimir Putin, vowing retaliation for what it has called a terrorist attack. Moscow has said the two drones were used in the alleged attack on Putin's residence in the Kremlin's citadel overnight, adding that the drones were disabled by electronic defenses.
It is technically possible. Ukraine has several types of drones that can fit the profile. For example, its newly developed UJ-22 drone can actually fly the distance. It's a commercial drone that they acquired from China. It's Mugen 5 cargo drone, which can be basically purchased online and could be refitted into a military drone. That drone can fly several hundred kilometers, and it was used in previous attacks.
Kremlin statement said, "We regard these actions as a planned terrorist act and an attempt on the president's life carried out on the eve of Victory Day, the May 9 parade, at which the presence of foreign guests is also planned."
And of course, attacks of this kind, if they are in fact carried by Ukrainian military, are meant to keep the Russian military off balance by forcing them to reallocate and rededicate air defense resources to specific places like Moscow, probably at the expense of other regions, including, for example, Russian military inside Ukraine proper that has to have enough air defense and electronic warfare protection.
Separately, the Speaker of Russia's parliament demanded the use of, quote, weapons capable of stopping and destroying the Kiev terrorist regime, response to the alleged attack on Kremlin. However, Ukraine denied any involvement in the alleged drone operation. Kiev has said the attack was, quote, staged by Moscow.
The Russians may try to leverage this narrative around an assassination on Putin to then up their game with regards to pretext to up their game to go after Zelensky himself. But they've been trying to do that anyway since the beginning of the war. There's plenty of reporting that indicates Russian kind of kill teams were out there trying to hunt down both Zelensky and his family. So it's mainly, I think, a rally around the flag effect that the Russians are going for.
Meanwhile, Ukraine says Russia has targeted cities in a new wave of missile strikes and shelling across the country. Officials and media outlets say multiple explosions were heard in the capital, Kiev, and elsewhere. Blasts caused by Russian shelling were also reported in the southern Zaporizhzhia region and the port city of Odessa. Kiev and some central and eastern Ukrainian regions have announced air alerts following the Russian statements accusing Ukraine of attacking the Kremlin. There are now some reports that Ukrainian forces have begun their counterattack in Bakhmut. Russian officials have said Ukraine's counteroffensive against Russia will have no benefit and will only lead to more bloodshed. The U.S. and its allies have put much hope in the offensive. However, leaked documents show Western military officials do not expect Ukraine to regain as much territory. Ukrainian forces have also been using lots of manpower and other resources fighting in Bakhmut. The intensifying crisis comes amid fresh U.S. military aid to Ukraine. The U.S. is sending another $300 million military aid package to Ukraine, including for the first time, short-range air-launched rockets, deepening its involvement in the war in defiance of repeated warnings by Russia. The package includes Hydra-70 rockets, which are unguided projectiles fired from aircraft. It also includes artillery rounds, 155mm howitzer cannons, anti-tank missiles, and mortars. The Pentagon has also sent at least 20 high-mobility artillery rocket systems, HIMARS, to Ukraine. HIMARS systems, which are made by Lockheed Martin, are intended to be a core component of Ukraine's fighting force in the future. The package brings the total amount of U.S. military aid to about $36 billion. The U.S. is still drawing funds for military assistance to Ukraine from the $45 billion aid package that Congress authorized in December.
Running against Russia, being nasty to Russia, is very popular. But I'll tell you what's not popular. More than 60% of the American people do not like all the money we're spending on Ukraine. And the American media is not reporting that, and it's also not reporting that there's demonstrations are going every weekend in Europe, particularly in Germany. There's a lot of demonstrations, like, not about the pipeline, against the war, the money that's being spent on Ukraine, and the whole notion of that war, and the whole rationale for the war. And you can almost understand why Biden wanted to keep Germany from having the option to open the pipeline.
The $45 billion is expected to be exhausted by the summer, meaning the White House might ask Congress for more funds soon. The U.S. and its Western allies have kept feeding Ukraine with massive amounts of arms since the start of the war last year. Moscow has time and again warned that military assistance will only prolong the war.
A well-known resistance actor within the Palestinian prisoners movement, Hador Adnan, has passed away on the 86th day of his hunger strike inside an Israeli prison following two decades of arrests. Hador spent nearly a fifth of his life behind bars, arrested 12 times by Israeli forces and subjected to over 8 years of captivity. He used hunger strikes to take power back and mobilize the world outside his prison cell in support of the Palestinian prisoners' struggle. Sustained arbitrary arrests and medical neglect led to Qadr's death The Palestinian Human Rights Organizations Council thus viewed Khadr's killing as premeditated murder by the Israeli regime. Israeli prison services were holding Khadr in solitary confinement and refused his family visitation rights right up to his death. He survived by his wife and 9 children. In his lifetime, Khadr Adnan carried out 6 hunger strikes. His first protest in 2004 lasted 25 days and popularized hunger strikes as an accessible means of resistance within the regime's military prison system. His second hunger strike in 2012, that lasted 66 days, was joined by hundreds of prisoners and triggered an international movement for the freedom of Palestinian prisoners. In 2015, he went on his third hunger strike for 56 days against another administrative detention. In 2017, Khadr was again arrested and went on a 58-day hunger strike. His fifth 25-day-long strike was directed at his penultimate arrest in 2021. During his most recent arrest in February, Israeli forces raided his home and terrorized his family. Khadr was no stranger to civil disobedience, therefore responded by immediately going on an open hunger strike. Israeli prison services retaliated with isolation orders, renewed every 2 weeks without review. He was held under deplorable conditions and was subjected to regular abuses. When Khadr fell seriously ill in April, ISP refused to transfer him to a hospital. Khadr was found unconscious in isolation in Ramallah Prison Clinic on May 2nd. Using deliberate medical neglect, indefinite isolation, and detention extensions, the regime foresaw and facilitated Khadr's death. He was killed behind the bars, a fate shared by over 233 Palestinian political prisoners. The international community's failure to intervene amplifies past evidence that international law is just a tool for the colonizer regime of Israel, not Palestinians. It shows that the international community aids and abets the Israeli regime's crimes by its deafening silence that today rings loud after the death of Khadr Adnan. Palestinians rallied in Gaza City as shops closed during a general strike following the death of Palestinian hunger striker Khadr Adnan in Israeli custody. In his hometown near Jenin, in the occupied West Bank, Adnan's 9-year-old son, Ali, led a protest march. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammad Shataya described the death of Adnan, who was arrested in the occupied West Bank, as a deliberate assassination.
The Palestinian cabinet holds the Israeli occupation, the prison authorities and all its agencies fully accountable for the martyrdom of Khadr Adnan. And we consider this a deliberate assassination by rejecting his request for release, neglecting him medically and keeping him in his cell despite the seriousness of his health condition.
Also, different Palestinian factions held the regime responsible for his death, saying that Israel will pay dearly for its crime.
The occupation bears full responsibility, and we will carry out our role in confronting those crimes and those assaults, in particular this crime which led to the martyrdom of Sheikh Hero Khadr Adnan.
Gaza-based Hamas resistance movement has also warned that the Israeli crime will not go unanswered. Also, the Fatah movement of President Mahmoud Abbas has called for immediate international action in support of Palestinians languishing in Israeli jails. According to Palestinian Prisoner Society, 4,900 Palestinian detainees are currently in Israeli jails, with 1,000 of them being held in administrative detention without charge. That's the highest number since 2003.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions and practical tajweed rules, step by step, verse by verse. Inshallah, we're here with you. And I really welcome you all. Thanks for joining IRIB English Radio. Fawad Haider, Salam, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali Nasir, welcome, brothers. Is everyone fine?
Alhamdulillah.
So, inshallah, let's go and start our class. Inshallah, today, the same as yesterday, inshallah, we'll talk about two verses of Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 98. 6 and Ayah 97 on page 62. So everybody, let's once listen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi-Bakkata mubarakan wa hudan lil-'alamin. فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين.
Amazing recitation. Allah bless the reciter, inshallah. Now, we'll mention some important points about these two verses, and then we'll move on, okay? Today, important tajweed rules. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Allah Almighty says in Ayah 96, Inna awwala bayti wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi-Bakkata mubaraka wa hudan lil-alamin. Next ayah, فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Right? That's how you read it. Now, listen. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ, indeed, the first house. Okay? وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ, to be set up for mankind. لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّ, is the one at Bakka. مُبَارَكًا, this is a blessed house. وَهُدًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ, and is a guidance for all nations. Alright? And then in the next ayah, Allah Almighty says, فِيهِ, in this house, in it, آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ, manifest signs. There are manifest signs. مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, and also Abraham's station, a place where Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing to do the prayers. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ, and whoever enters this house, كَانَ آمِنَ, shall be secure, safe, and sound. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, and it is the duty of mankind, okay, it means it is wajib, mandatory upon humankind, toward Allah, حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ, okay, to make the pilgrimage to this house, مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ, for those people who can afford the journey to it. إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, okay? وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, and if anyone, should anyone renege on his obligation, okay, if he does not do, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Guys, this, the first one, the first ayah talks about the Mecca, okay? Mecca is that holy mosque in the city of Mecca, okay, that place, the house of Allah, you see? Yeah? Baytullah Sharif. So that part, the Mecca, the Bekka, or the, that masjid, the people do the prayers there. It's called Bekka. And a lot of people say it's, we call it the house of Allah, Baytullah, yes? But Allah says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلَّهِ or لِلنَّاسِ
لِلنَّاسِ
for the people. So this house is basically built for the people. My nephew had a very nice question here. He was asking his dad, Dad, so this is called the house of Allah. Okay? So Allah, how kind of Allah is he? Like he never goes to his house. Like his lights are on. The water people use. What about the expenses? Who pays the expenses? Allah doesn't go there any time. Where is he? Why is he not going to his house? It was a kid, okay? I was asking this question. It was so funny. It was amazing. So Allah Almighty says, it's built for the people, okay? So it's a center of worship, a center of prayer, okay? This is the house that Prophet Adam alayhi salam built. From the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, it was built, okay? And because of the flood and these things, okay? Disasters, so it was destroyed. And Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam raised it with Prophet Ismail. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ Yes?
Yes.
So Prophet Ibrahim did so. So, guys, this is a place to worship. And in the next ayah, Allah Almighty says a lot of things about this ayah, goodnesses about this house, I mean. فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ Manifest signs. And also Maqam Ibrahim talks about the history of the Prophet, where Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing to do the prayers. And وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا It's a secure place. Okay? It's a very secure place. قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's recite the Quran. Now we got some minutes to mention some important tajweed rules, and we'll move on, inshallah. Inna, nun mushaddad, right? The first thing. Pay attention. Yeah. Inna, a nasal sound. I'll also prolong it for two counts. Awwala, make sure waw is not pronounced as v in English. Awwala, no. Inna awwala, baytin, tanween plus waw. For what says it is.
Idgham.
Bayti wudi'a. Linnasi. The pronunciation of dad, hamza, ha, ayn, ha, yes, qaf, kha, ghain, ta. These are important that you must pay attention to them. So, linnasi again nun mushaddad. Lalladhi bi bakkata. Mubarakaw again, the same as Bayti Wudi'a, yes?
Yeah,
Mubarakaw Idgham. With Gunna, right, Ali Nasir? And also two counts.
Yeah,
stretch it for two counts, for two beats. Mubarakaw Hudan Lil Alameen. It's just an Idgham. Hudal. There is no nasal sound.
Yeah.
Hudan. No way. Hudal Lil Alameen. That's it. Fihi Ayatun Bayinat. Fihi Ayatun. Do you see that baby meme?
Yeah.
With that?
Yes.
That says
the
tanween noon. The noon sound is changed to Hussein. A hidden
meme sound.
Ayatum bayinatum. This is meme. Yes. You join tanween to meme. Idgham. Tum maqamu ib. Ibrahim.
Qalqala.
Yeah, bounce the sound, echo the sound. Maqamu Ibrahim. Sila tells you Hassan.
It's better to continue.
It's better to continue. Qila in the next station says?
It's better to stop.
Better to stop. Good job, good job. Thank you. فيها آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله حسن حسين ومن دخله من نون ساكن plus دال
rest of إخفاء
إخفاء it's amongst the rest of the letters. Good job. ومن دخله who there is a rule called إشباع الضمير إشباع الضمير okay ضمير هاء ها look ها who there's a baby wow
yeah
this yes. is an important for recitals it's very important to pay attention okay دخله كان ومن دخله كان آمنا do not recite it ومن دخله كان آمنا إشباع okay make it stretch it ومن دخله كان آمنا two counts ومن read it with me ومن دخله كان آمنا
ومن دخله كان آمنا
أحسن إشباع الضمير ما شاء الله إشباع الضمير ها good job ولله لام in the word Allah with an A sound there is a كسرة light sound على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا طاعة it means like من استطاع the one who can afford now طاع has a heavy sound ومن كفر that's also an إخفاء ومن كفر فإن الله غني إظهار do not merge or change or hide the sound of tanwin here ghaniyun anil alamin that's all let's once read okay recite these two verses with tajweed inshallah a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim
a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim
bismillahir rahmanir rahim
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين
إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين
فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا
فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا
ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا
ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا
حج البيت good job okay next time inshallah when you recite fix it ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين
ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله الله bless you thank you so much brothers and sisters alhamdulillah we explained a bit about this ayah and then we mentioned the important tajweed rules we practiced the recitation That's all from us for today. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for being with us up to this time. Brothers here, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali, Nasir. And inshallah, we'll be here again with you. See you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin. Allahumma.
صلي على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
He was 46 years old, father of a 3-year-old girl, an engineer by career, and a former handball star. On April 28th, he had started an ordinary day as usual. At dusk, on the way home, something happened that upset his daily routine. He never arrived home to hug and kiss his little girl before bed, but instead became a household name across the country overnight. May 3rd, 2023. Tens of thousands of Iranians from all walks of life have taken part in the funeral ceremony of Hamid Reza Aldaghi to say farewell to their national hero in the northeastern city of Sabzavar. Known as the Martyr of Courage, Hamid Reza was laid to rest among other martyrs in the city cemetery. Hamid Reza grabbed the headlines as a national hero after a viral CCTV video showed him courageously defending two girls against a couple of knife-wielding thugs in Sabzavar. He was stabbed 7 times in the back and chest while trying to rescue the defenseless girls. He later succumbed to knife wounds in hospital. His death has once again rekindled the issue of ghairat, a Farsi word deeply rooted in Iranian culture. Whereas ghairat has stereotypically manifested itself in the mainstream media in the form of a jealous husband, it represents a moral value that takes courage and gallantry. A man who throws caution to the wind to save the lives of others in danger, especially if they are women, is described in Iran as a man who has ghairat. In one sense, ghairat is similar to the medieval knight's code of honor. In English culture, Walter Raleigh is a perfect example of chivalry for what he did for the sovereign's comfort. According to a famous legend, he once laid his plush cloak over a mud puddle so that Queen Elizabeth's feet would not be dirtied.
A puddle in the way, Majesty.
A puddle.
But what catapults Hamid Reza Aldaghi above all these figures is that he sacrificed not his clothing, but his life. And it was not for his sovereign's comfort. which would have brought him wealth and fame, as was in the case of Sir Walter Raleigh, but it was for the comfort of two defenseless girls. To be chivalrous implies those principles that respect the worth and the dignity of others, that compel us to take responsibility for the care and safety of others as we remain inextricably linked in this complex web of life. Hamid Reza's ultimate sacrifice was widely respected and reflected online. His name is now trending in Twitter in Iran as the martyr of courage. During the imposed war on Iran by the Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein, hundreds of thousands of Iranians went to the front line voluntarily. Many of them, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, said their aim was to protect their national and family honor. When the city of Khorramshahr was under the boots of Ba'ath's troops, three Iranian men lost their lives before their comrades managed to bring down the body of an Iranian girl the Iraqis had put on a wooden pole. This level of sacrifice, especially when it comes to the honor of girls and women, has been handed down from generation to generation. At a time when individualism is in full swing and many are preoccupied with their personal interests, the story of Hamid Reza is a wake-up call for social values and commitments. His martyrdom has once again unified Iranian society around values rooted in centuries-old history and culture. Hamid Reza Aldari was not a man in uniform, yet his name will conjure up images of gallantry and chivalry for years and decades to come.
IRIB English Radio.
This is